Good.
You look at the line, as you said, so often, you know, you kind of have to look and say, well, who do I have this week to come out there and play? This week it looks like, you know, you'll have a lot more guys, certainly many more than you had last time you played the Broncos. How different has that changed the way you look at Peyton Manning and what you're going to try and do?
Well, I don't think it changes too much how we look at Peyton. It changes kind of how what we do maybe from the standpoint of, you know, like we've talked about all year, whoever we got to decide what can they do well, what can't they do well, what can we put them in to have success. So it's kind of the same thing. We now take some guys that we've added back into the equation and say, okay, can we now go back and do some of these things well? You know, what do we want to take that was good from the last game? Can we do that? What do we want to throw out from the last game? And, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's just evaluate the talent that we have, but then also put that up against what they do and say, is this a good fit? You know, is this guy a good coverage guy on their tight end? Will this guy be a good coverage guy on their back if we're playing man coverage? Who can play zone? It's all those things you kind of take into account. It's just now we figure out who we got and we go from there.
Terrell Suggs has had a quiet stretch. Is it injuries or is it some other factor that's playing a role in that?
Well, I don't think Terrell. I mean, the fact that this guy came back from an Achilles in and of itself, I don't know about you guys, but I'm marveled the guy's played at all this year. So I think anything that we've gotten out of Terrell Suggs has been a positive. I don't look at it at all like he hasn't done something successfully. I look at it as this has been a bonus that we ever had the guy. I never dreamed that we'd have the guy at all this year. So anything we've gotten out of him, to me, is a positive and a bonus.
With how effective, you know, Peyton is on the play action, how important is it to stopping the run game to kind of at least limit the effectiveness of those play fakes?
Very important, because we didn't do a good job of it in the first game, especially in a couple of the packages that we were in. Now, later in the game, we kind of did a little better job of it as the game went on, and they went more to it. I think they ran the ball 40 times in that game. So we got to do a better job. There's no doubt about it that if you're running the ball, it's going to set up your play action a heck of a lot better. So we need to try to get them into third and longs and that kind of situation. And the way you got to do that, you got to stop the run.
And
so
what's the challenge for the defensive backs in particular on those play action fakes?
Well, the biggest thing is, like always, is do your job and keep your eyes where your eyes ought to be. If you start wandering around looking at something that you're not supposed to look at, you know, that's always gotten us in trouble. And, you know, that's sometimes where you give up the big plays. So everybody's got to do their job. You know, if it's we got to expect the front seven's got to do a good job of stopping the run, the secondary's got to do a good job of covering on the play-action passes. To sit there and say that a linebacker's not going to bite up on a play-action fake is ludicrous. They are. I mean, if they're going to stop the run, and they do a good job of – Peyton does as good a job as anybody of selling the play-action – I mean, you know, we can preach that all we want to. That guy's going to bite up. So the guy on the back end's really got to keep his eye on his luggage and know what he's doing back there.
Dean, Haloti Ngata's injuries probably haven't gotten quite as much attention as some of the other ones. But, you know, can you describe his toughness in playing through them and also just assess his level of play?
Well, I'd say he's, you know, it's not on the same regards as Suggs, but Haloti's been hurt all year, and you know, the fact that we've gotten a lot out of him, we've tried to rest him a couple times, tried to take some reps off of him. Guy never says a word, just comes out, plays, does what he's supposed to, you know, supposed to do, and it's a credit to him. And I think he probably production-wise, maybe he hadn't had the year that he's had at some other years, but he really has been hurt. And the biggest thing is just nobody's really talked too much about it. We haven't talked too much about it. He doesn't talk too much about it. But he has been banged up all season.
Do you think he's played better later in the season than he maybe did in the middle when the injuries were fresher?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. There was a point in time during the middle of the season he was really hurt. And he was still playing, but he wasn't playing at the level that he's used to playing at. I think taking some of the reps off of him with D'Angelo Tyson, Art Jones, and some of those guys getting some playing time and playing experience, whether we wanted them to or whether we didn't want them to, I think it was in the long run it was a good thing because we got to take some plays off of him, which has been a little bit better here towards late in the season.
There's two guys that are, you know, so explosive out there on the edge. What kind of challenge does that create, you know, defensively when you're trying to figure out who you should focus on and shade the coverage and those kinds of things?
Well, you know, it's there's nothing on defense that takes away everything. If that were the case, we'd all play it every down. just like if there was an offensive play that worked every time, you'd run it every time. You just got to change it up, and you can't take everybody out of the game all the time. There's not enough guys on the field. So what you got to do is you got to kind of pick and choose based on maybe formation, maybe based on down and distance, based on a lot of things. Okay, who are we going to emphasize in this situation? Who are we going to take out? And it's usually not going to be the same guy all the time when you have multiple guys. If you have one great receiver and nobody else, then that's kind of easy. We can double him. But when you have multiple guys, you can't double them all. You ain't got enough people. So you got to kind of pick and choose. And a lot of it's based on formation. A lot of it's, like I say, based on down and distance. And just got to keep mixing it up on them.
Dean, what's some of your experience playing in Denver and dealing with some of the myths and realities of the altitude? And what did you maybe take to a good for this game, for this team, as far as preparation?
I've never really kind of bought into the altitude thing, to be honest with you. Maybe it's because I had a professor in college. When I was getting my master's degree, I had a guy that was a football player that was one of my college professors, and it was a kinesiology class or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But he talked to me, and he was a football player for BYU. He's a defensive back, and he was a prof. He had his doctorate degree. And the guy told me, he said, you know, when these guys sit on the sideline and put those oxygen masks on, that is absolutely placebo. That means nothing. There's nothing. Your body takes in so much oxygen, that's it. And so unless you're really in an altitude of climbing a mountain and you are way up there, it really is more in your head than anything else. And that's what I've believed for the last 40 years. Anything else? Thanks.